Hello and welcome to The Sports Doctor. I'm Chris Fox, joined by Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist on Trade Street in Aurora. His website is sportsdoctorradio.com, sportsdoctorradio.com. His blog is at chicagonow.com/sports-doctor. Hello, Dr. Weil.
Hey, Chris. Good to be with you. Thanks, everybody, for listening to another edition of The Sports Doctor. We're excited this evening. We've got a special guest. Chris is going to introduce him. Chris, go ahead.
Our guest joining us on the phone tonight is Len Saunders. He's a physical education teacher in New Jersey. He's a motivational speaker and an author of several books on children's health and fitness. His latest book is Keeping Kids Fit. Len, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. We're excited to have you on, Len. You know, this is a topic that's near and dear to the sports doctor, whether it's high-performance kids or kids' health, or the childhood obesity dilemma, the interaction of the family. But I thought we would start by having you maybe give the audience a little bit of your background and history and how you got so involved in the subject matter of children and children's fitness.
Well, growing up as a child, I grew up in Fort Lee, New Jersey, and I lived right over the George Washington Bridge, minutes away from New York City. And I grew up without a father. He passed away actually 8 months before I was born. And I was one of those kids who walked to school, you know, very early age in first grade or second grade because my mom had to work and had to overcome a lot of obstacles, you know, where I was scared at one point to even walk to school. So I would actually run to school, which I learned about fitness that way.
Right, that'll do it.
Yeah, that would do it. But I remember, though, many times there were many male figures, some role models for me that helped me and got me on the right track, kept me out of trouble, taught me about life and life skills and about how to take care of yourself and take care of your family. And as a senior in high school, I wasn't going to go to college because we really couldn't afford it. And, you know, my guidance counselor called me and my mom in, and she was able to work something out where if I major in physical education, I would get some type of partial scholarship. And I thought that was a great opportunity for me because it was an opportunity for me to maybe give back to kids what people gave to me to help my life go in a positive direction. And as I was growing up, I've met a lot of people, a lot of kids who are overweight, especially when I was graduating college and became a teacher. And I thought, hey, this is a great way to help children and give back and maybe help kids fight obesity and keep them healthy and be that role model for them. And it took off of me, and I just started doing different activities with kids and motivated them to get physically fit and to learn about proper health and healthy lifestyle, and kept growing and growing and growing until where I am today.
A little bit about, Len, about the books you've written, if you could give us some of the example of the first few books and their subject matter.
All right. The most recent book is a book called Keeping Kids Fit. And I did with the publisher out of New York City. And the book is really, it's a guide for parents. It teaches them about all those things that maybe they take for granted and forget about, such as, you know, how to get kids motivated to exercise, how to eat properly, how to hydrate properly, you know, get plenty of sleep, suggestions for various tips to do certain exercises and things of that nature. And each chapter of the book discusses one aspect of health, and it reevaluates it for them and reminds them of things that they can do as a parent to actually help their child stay healthy and fit.
I mean, there's no doubt about it that parents are role models. It seems to be in this age where there are so many single-parent households and all of these other challenges that we're all aware of, that sometimes these simple messages get lost in the shuffle. What ages do you teach in school, Len? Are you in high school?
Elementary school.
That's where it really counts, doesn't it?
It sure does. And I start with the three-year-olds. We have preschoolers there to grade five. And, you know, it's a great time to really mold and shape their brains and bodies and get them, you know, on the right track. And that's where it's the most impressionable.
So in your experience, what's changed in your years as a teacher? Has anything changed in terms of children's health, nutrition, fitness? Are they exercising less? I know that's a sweeping generalization, but what's gone on in your time as a teacher?
Well, I think the major thing right now is the advancements in technology. Many years ago, children and play were the natural companions. And I mean play, I mean going outside. But now I think children and technology are the more natural companions, where, you know, they're doing more sedentary activities. They're involved in all these different electronics and things of that nature. So play has really taken on a new definition right now. And as much as technology has helped us with advancements in medicine and communication and entertainment, it's really causing a generation of couch potatoes. You know, there really has to be limits set on how much technology kids are getting right now. We need to get back to the old school, getting them outside after school. We have, you know, get the homework done, get them outside and play and come in, have dinner. You know, if they want to do a little technology, that's fine. But, you know, as long as it's not overdone. And that's the problem. And
see, what's interesting, Len, you know, we're here in Illinois. We're the last state that requires any kind of PE in schools. You know, at the same
right.
time, all these things that are happening that you're talking about, simultaneously, the country is cut back on the necessity of physical education. And we, for 10 years, and you're listening to The Sports Doctor here on WDCB 90.9 FM. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, here with Chris Fox, sports editor of The Lombardian. We're speaking with Len Saunders, who is the author of numerous books on children's fitness, on childhood obesity, on nutrition, on the role of families, talking about all of these challenges. We've been talking about this for a decade or more, Len. I felt, whether I was talking about let's get them walking, that if the schools didn't take this on, with the millions and millions and millions of children involved in schools, like the video and information that I shared with you regarding pull your own weight, if the schools aren't involved, then there's just no way we're going to have an effect on all these millions of kids and turn the corner. Is there any hope over the horizon of really a return to PE in schools as you see it, like in your state and some of the other states that you're involved in?
Well, I'm hoping things go in a complete circle and people actually realize the benefits of PE in school. And most people underestimate its value. They think that it really just to get the kids out and play a little bit. But, you know, we're teaching the kids about physical activity and lifelong skills. And there's a lot of studies out there that have documented that it helps with their cognitive skills, helps with socialization. There's so many benefits of PE. And sometimes, you know what, in school there's such a thing as overkill where they're getting too much academics and kids shut down sometimes. It becomes overwhelming. And
yeah, learning readiness is a great term, isn't it? I know here in Illinois, at my local area, District 203 in Naperville, became famous for the book Spark. And some of that work done by Dr. Rady from Harvard regarding learning readiness, that an active child was much more able to concentrate and focus and do some of these things that are so important in school compared to, you know, sitting around all day. Have you found that to be the case?
I absolutely 100% agree with that. And not to mention it also creates happy children where it releases those endorphins that help them, you know, stay happy. And this is so many benefits. It's a list can go on and on. And so you're 100% on target with that.
Now, you've had this very exciting Project ACES where you have, I think, right, millions of children exercising simultaneously. Could you talk a little bit about that exciting project you've been involved with?
Sure. Many, many years ago, I always had to think of novel ways to get my kids to be physically fit, because I've learned that you just can't say to kids, all right, give me 20 push-ups and hey, let's do it. They don't respond like that. So I try to come up with all these unique ways to get them motivated to exercise. In the school district that I'm at, we have five elementary schools, and I thought it would be kind of a neat idea to get all five elementary schools to exercise at the same time as a way of motivating them. So I talked to all the local PE teachers, and we all decided we were going to exercise at 10 o'clock in the morning on the first Wednesday in May. But then I had a friend in New York who taught. I told him about the idea, and he said, you know what, I think we're going to join you. And the idea popped in my mind, wouldn't it be cool to get one school in every state to exercise with us at the same time? So I started a letter-writing campaign, and I started writing letters to schools, wherever I could find them, or I would even send a letter to the local post office with information about the project and say, please deliver this to an elementary school in your town or something like that. But I started letter-writing campaigns telling people about the project, and sure enough, I was able to get one school from every state. And what we did, the objective of the whole project, ACES stands for All Children Exercise Simultaneously, was to get children to exercise at the same time, 10 o'clock in the morning, on a certain date in May. So the first year.
Boy, if you could do that daily, we'd solve the problem.
Well, it would be nice.
Try writing those letters.
Yeah, I wish. You know what? One day.
Hey, we'll work with you, man. We'll work with you.
but you know, that I guess the novelty is that kids, it's a one day a year thing, and like, oh, it's cool. You know, I don't. I
hope, so how many children participated?
Now I can't keep track anymore. I mean, I just say millions of kids.
Wow, that's fantastic.
In Michigan alone, they had 250,000 kids participate, so it was wonderful. You know, it's just, it's been going on now for 25 years with kids exercise the first Wednesday in May at 10 o'clock in the morning, and it's been going on successfully, so very, very happy with that.
We're going to spread the word for sure.
I'm trying to remember my PE classes when I was in grade school, and we did different activities. Can you take us through some of your classes? I mean, you've got these kids for, I don't know, what is it, 50, 60 minutes a day? Are you doing physical activity? Are you giving them speeches, a little bit of both? What's a Len Saunders class like?
Well, first of all, you got to try to make it fun. But even like today, I remember I had my first grade class. We came in, we put on music, and we do exercising for about, you know, 3 to 5 minutes to songs that they know and they like, you know, whether it's push-ups and jumping jacks and arm twirls and running.
We got to get you to mix in a couple of pull-ups at the same time.
Well, we actually got to those later on.
All right.
but then after that, we did the, we do running around the gym, and then we had to freeze and find our heart rates, and they put the hand on the chest, and they show their hand beating with the heart, the opposite hand. Then after that, we did the chicken dance, the monkey dance. Then after that, we did jogging around the cones with music on. Then after that, we did some pull-ups, and then we finished with some little small running games. And they left all sweaty and smelly and out of breath and ready for their day. So it was a lot of fun, and they had a good time.
How do you deal with a child who's struggling with obesity or being overweight? I mean, it's got to be difficult to be a child and have that problem. And you as a teacher, maybe talk to the parents. How do you deal with that?
Well, I mean, now you get kids in all shapes and sizes, all different academic levels, special needs kids, you know, mainstreamed in. And it is a challenge to try to make it so all kids have some degree of success and no embarrassment. And I do take pride in that. Whenever we do something, it's always about helping the other children and being supportive. And, you know, I could tell you stories today that, like, brought tears to my eyes with certain kids who were helping, you know, other children and not making fun of them and so forth.
Yeah, because so, bullying is a big problem, isn't it, Len? You know, one of the authors we had on our Kids Beating Obesity podcast was Michael Buchanan, who wrote the book and did the screenplay for Fat Boy Chronicles. And he had some alarming statistics that he would talk about, like 60% or so of bullying is weight-related. So that's got to be a big issue, I guess, in the interaction with some of these kids. Do you see that?
Not so much at the elementary level. You know, they're really, they're many
they're
kids
still
who are
nice.
Still kind. They're still nice. And it happens more when they're older and the self-esteem, you know, gets beat up a little bit there with, you know, other kids. And, you know, they see how other kids are dressed and how they're active and able to achieve certain things. And kids become a little more self-absorbed in themselves at that point. You know, it's just the nature of the beast. It's really nothing, you know, that's just something they're innately doing. You know, but when it becomes cruel and mean, then it's upsetting and scary, and it's important for the adults involved to you know, keep an eye out and make sure that all the kids are treated equally and not scapegoated and picked on and so forth.
Yes, dealing with the parents. You're listening to The Sports Doctor here on WDCB 90.9 FM. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, with Chris Fox, another great guest. We're talking with Len Saunders, author, motivational speaker, expert on all things children's fitness, elementary school teacher. Go to sportsdoctorradio.com. We have over 3 years of radio shows on the site, lots of articles, lots of input regarding all aspects of the sports doctor. Want to talk now, Len, I understand you've been to the White House or been involved at that level in some of your childhood obesity and children's fitness ways.
Yeah, many, many years ago in the 1990s, I got invited there twice, actually. But they had some things there called the Great American Workout.
I remember, and, yes. 92 yeah, was the Great American Workout. We participated, yeah. I think, in Chicago with some of the with some of the Chicago Bears. So, like 3 decades, you've been working in this subject matter, haven't you?
A long time. I feel very old at times, but that was a big thrill because I got to, you know, meet some people who I just, you know, Milton Berle and Muhammad Ali, and I got to shake hands with President Bush, and it was quite a thrill to be there.
And you've been on numerous television shows, national newspapers. That must be exciting to have a large audience sometimes.
It's very difficult sometimes to get that type of audience. What you do, you got to try to get your point across. And, you know, a lot of times people don't find it newsworthy unless it's a negative thing about children and obesity. And, you know, when you try to do something positive, it's actually harder to get that.
That's an interesting point. Who do you speak to in your motivational speaking situations, Len? Who are your audiences? Is it parents? Is it athletes' parents? Very, very young elementary school parents? Who's in your audience, and what are your topics?
It depends. I mean, I've spoken at teacher conferences. I've spoken at different universities. I spoke in, you know, a couple years ago, I went to the ACSM conference in New York City. I spoke there. You know, it all depends. I can go do workshops for teachers in schools. I've done things at YMCAs for parents. It all depends on what the topic is. And if I can assist and help them in some way, then I love doing it. And, you know, just a different place at Rutgers University, I remember, spoke to a few times. Any place that will have me and has an audience that's willing to listen and then make some changes for the positive, I'm willing to go there.
I think there's been tremendous increased awareness, it seems. I think there's a lot of reason to be optimistic. I know we've been trudging in the mud for a long, long time with the effects and the health effects of some of these kids who grow up dealing with all sorts of obesity-related, whether it's diabetes, whether it's high blood pressure, heart problems. But it seems to me that the First Lady and Let's Move and all of these efforts, the awareness is much, much higher than it has been. Are you optimistic, Len?
Yes and no. You know, like, you know, people don't realize that type 2 diabetes is environmental, and you know, and there's a lot of naysayers out there say, "Oh, childhood obesity hasn't changed," and oh, you know, it has. You know, type 2 diabetes wasn't really called type 2 diabetes when I was. It was called adult onset diabetes.
Exactly.
Right? So children now.
Yes, isn't that amazing? Even
yeah,
the label changed. Adult onset.
It did.
Yes.
But it is environmental, and it's definitely, you know, direct correlation to being obese. And, you know, we really need to realize that there are some children there who do need some medical attention and are going to have a lot of difficulty when they get older having a healthy life. So I'm optimistic to a point, but my philosophy is that there's still one kid out there who needs help, then we got work to do. And that's, you know, what I look at it as. So
I would imagine educating the parents of young elementary school children is a forever challenge in so many different ways, and this is really, really one of them, isn't it?
It definitely is, but what I do find is that most parents are very receptive to listening and learning and hopefully following through on it.
There's the challenge of getting the kids off the couch, but the challenge of getting them to eat healthier, I would think that's much greater, and if the parents are having a hard time, it's got to be a real uphill battle for the kids.
It is, and what parents, you know, forget sometimes is that the kids are watching their every move. Even though they may not realize it, and it might seem like they're off doing something else, they're watching what the parents are eating, you know, if they're smoking or drinking or, you know, not exercising. They're taking notes, and they say, you know, in their mind that, oh, what my mom or dad is doing must be the right way to do it because that's my mom and dad. And, you know, if they're smoking a cigarette, well, you know what, it's okay for me to smoke a cigarette then because they're doing it. It must be safe. You know, that's from a kid's perspective, how they're looking at it. So we really need to be careful what we do in front of our kids, what we say, what we watch, what we eat, what we drink, how we exercise, you know, whatever we're doing. We have to realize they're watching. Those little eyes are keeping an eye on us and also what they're doing. They're multitasking, and we need to really pay attention to that.
Yeah, they're much more aware, a lot smarter than we give them credit for sometimes, aren't they, these young kids?
Yeah, they could turn it on and off when they want to.
There's no doubt about it. You know, I really want to thank you, Len Saunders, who's been our guest this evening on The Sports Doctor. Before we sign off, we'd like you to give some information regarding your website and contact information. But it's been a fascinating conversation. Love to have you back and talk a little bit more about so many different areas of this important topic. So, Len, thanks so much. Len Saunders, author, motivational speaker, for joining us. Please give some information where people could find out more about your excellent books and projects.
You can just visit my website. It's my name, lensaunders.com. Twitter, it's Len Saunders, and people need to reach out to me or contact me. They can do it through my website. There's a contact form there, and I'm happy to help if I can.
LenSaunders.com. And again, Len's latest book, Keeping Kids Fit, and you can buy his books through the website, correct?
Yeah, it's available on Amazon, Target, iTunes, every place.
Okay, Len, thank you very much. Please come back.
Anytime.
Thanks, Len. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Yes, the never-ending topics in this important subject. And, you know, Len has really gotten some tremendous exposure. He mentioned something that was interesting, which is, you know, sometimes you talk about the positive side of things and whether or not that's as popular or as newsworthy, so to speak, as some of the negative sides, you know, talking about the childhood obesity is an interesting, point of view. I think another great example of a great interview, again, sportsdoctorradio.com is the website to read some of our latest articles, listen to some of the latest radio shows that we've done in the maybe the remaining 10 minutes or so, Chris, or a little bit less than that. I want to talk a little bit about the return of D. Rose. Derrick Rose with the Bulls. I think Chicago, I think the whole country's very excited. So far, so good. He's played a couple of games. What do you think? Looked pretty darn good.
You know, he missed the whole year, the whole 12-13 season. We all remember the whole issue of could he come back at the end of the 13th season.
It sounds about as sensible a way to come back from this type of injury for the type of sport that he's playing. I know other players have come back faster. There have definitely been examples, we've talked about it before, who have come back faster.
He's an aggressive player. He's you can't play NBA basketball, I don't think, at 75 or 80%. And I don't care if you have a brace on or not. You've got to go all out. I mean, it's a tough game.
You know, it's these ACL injuries. You've talked about a lot. The anterior cruciate ligament, the major stabilizer ligament of the knee. We've talked about it in various areas. One, that 5-1, 6-1 of these kinds of trauma injuries are female to male. We've talked a lot about how the running, jumping type sports is just deluged with this. The National Football League, football, college ball has been really, really plagued. In the last couple of weeks, two of the Bears have gone down with ACL injuries just in the past couple of weeks around the league more and more. Again, we've got these bigger, stronger, faster players, 6'5", 300 pounds, as athletic as could be, training all the time, super speed, direction-changing sports. I don't think this is going to stop anytime soon, but everybody's paying attention.
I wonder what the biggest challenge for him is. I suppose he's been asked that, but here I'm reading an article. He said his vertical leap has increased. He's still quick and explosive. So what's his biggest challenge? Is he going to struggle with the stamina of NBA basketball? Is he going to struggle with shooting the ball? I don't know.
Those are great questions. He does look stronger, doesn't he? He's put on some muscle, all that training that he's done. There's a lot of who knows in something like basket. You know, you land wrong, you are flying into groups of bodies. So I think that the possibility of these kinds of things is there. He's trained as hard as he can. He's taken about as much time as you can. And we're going to see, because the rigors of the NBA are endless. Also in the news is Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant went to Germany to get the PRP injections. Remember when we had Dr. John Glashow on the show, the famed orthopedist from New York who's done some ESPN work, and he was talking about the platelet rich plasma, where amount of your own blood is drawn it's centrifuged to get all of these different stem cells and other ingredients, then maybe injected to try to enhance healing. It's done in the United States, but Kobe had it done on his knee before. You know, he tore his Achilles tendon right at the end of the NBA season-playoffs. April. The fact that he's getting back to practice, it's only 6 months later, is itself amazing.
Did he do this on his own, go to Germany? I assume the Lakers didn't
pay his
ticket. Yeah,
I think they're all involved. And again, he's gone there before. He's the kind, he's a superstar. He could do what he wants within consultation. There aren't many athletes who successfully in basketball come back from torn Achilles. He had surgery, and he's not going there for treatment on that. He's getting treatment with his previous knee problem. How old is Kobe now? 34?
He just turned 35. And
wow.
In NBA years is old. And remember, he's played since he came out of
forever.
High school. All the playoff games, Olympic
has
games.
He's played like 19. How many seasons is this guy? 18, 19 years. So he is an incredible example of durability, number one. Also, the fact that he's been one of the greatest, we've talked about that a lot, but at his age, this is going to be an interesting year as all sorts of players are looking for all sorts of ways to try to come back from an injury, an ACL, an Achilles tendon. I don't think there's more than 5-10% of NBA players who've lasted more than a year or two coming back from Achilles tendon surgery. So that's another alarming statistic that used to end the career. Surgical, physical therapy techniques have changed that. So did ACL used to end careers in so many ways. When it comes to the female-male equation of anterior cruciate ligament ACL injuries, I really believe my experience has been I see a handful when they have orthotics in their shoes. I think it's a very, very major point. The mechanics of girls to boys, females to males, a little bit wider hips, hormone differences, a little bit more flexibility. So I think foot mechanics still has to be paid much more attention to than in the past. But with the level of sports, this is why whether we're looking at a Kobe Bryant, whether we're looking at a Derrick Rose, this is a real challenge. But we're very excited. I think they made the right decision. It was a very difficult one. Remember the hand-wringing? We talked about it so much.
That's
on the sports
water under
doctor.
The bridge.
Yes, water under the bridge. They should have a great team, the
should.
Bulls. Should. Now, the Bears, like we talked about last week, were in trouble. The physical
trouble.
Injuries.
3-0 now, 3-2, and they're in trouble.
Well, they're in trouble. They're on the short side of the momentum scale. Now, something I ranted about on the blog, we only have a minute. It's insane to be ready to play on Thursday night when you've played on Sunday. All the players I used to know would talk about, Doc, I'm not even breathing till Wednesday. And I, you know, with the league talking about safety and all of this baloney with concussions, and here we are with the routine. It's every night of the week. But Thursday night football after playing on Sunday, tough.
Economics. It's all about economics.
Yes. And my Giants, it's another story. So I'll see you next week, Chris.
Yeah, talk about a team in trouble.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. I never thought I would see it.
Go to sportsdoctorradio.com. That's sportsdoctorradio.com for past shows. Send Dr. Weil an email at drrweilsportsdoctor@yahoo.com. drrweilsportsdoctor@yahoo.com. Thanks again to Len Saunders for joining us tonight. Dr. Weil, see you next week.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
I'm Chris Fox. Please tune in next week to another edition of The Sports Doctor.